I'm going to give you three questions to talk about on your tables, and then we can have a little preliminary at the end. The three questions are, and again, you have to write them down because I can't press a button and just make that happen. So the first question is, so what is the primary purpose of your deanery, having listened to all that? What is the primary purpose of your deanery? The second question, how can you fulfill that purpose? How can you fulfill that? And the third question, what will that contribute towards mission and ministry in your diocese? So what's the primary purpose of your deanery? And you may just want to hang on to the one you started with. How can you fulfill that purpose? And how will that contribute towards mission and ministry in your diocese? So I'll give you a few minutes to talk about that, and then we can have a more open discussion. Thank you. I wonder then if I could draw us together again just for the last 10 minutes of meeting formally. And what I propose is, we're quite a big group, but I'm conscious there's far more expertise around of people who've led deaneries in interesting places and perhaps for a long time than I've had the experience of. So what I propose is invite three or four people to make some comments, criticisms, different ways of thinking, whatever you want, and then I might have mine in. But I don't think we have a question and answer thing. There aren't easy answers. It's for us to explore, really. So if you put your hand up, we have got two gentlemen lurking. You've got these microphones. So let's have three or four people, you know, offer some brief thoughts. Don't be shy. They are, make him run. Here he comes. It might be helpful for the community if you just say who you are and where you're from. So
I'm Jean Wynne from the Diocese of Canterbury, Sandwich Deanery, out on the edge there. John and I, who's from Stockton-on-Tees, were talking, and we said, what would help mission and ministry to actually get people to talk without the clergy present about what they really think the important values of their churches stand for, because people don't always trust each other, those of different traditions. In fact, I also said that I thought perhaps the synod reps weren't necessarily the right people to come to such a meeting, but that's another matter.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments and thoughts? Gentlemen there.
Tim Norwood from Milton Keynes. One of the words that I think was spinning around for us was your use of the word compliance.
Yes.
We liked that, and it certainly got us thinking. When we were thinking back of the business that we've discussed in our deanery synods, a lot of it has been top-down rather than bottom-up. And so we were toying with some revolutionary motions that we'd like to send up. I won't say what.
Excellent. Well, if you stick around, you get them out over in the bar or something. But thank you. Other comments or thoughts? There's a gentleman over there. I'm going to keep you here till 9:30 anyway, so it's no good just trying.
Brian Leathers now in the Lichfield Diocese.
Brian, hello. Yes.
Hi. We're talking about the deanery as a centre for lay training, instead of going off to diocesan training miles and miles away, doing it actually in the deanery, but not just the deanery synod doing the training, anybody who needs training for anything.
Mm. Thank you. One more, and then I'll hazard him. Sorry, yes, thank you.
Phil Brown from St. Albans Diocese, being ably supported by one of your local clergy.
Oh, good.
Who let us into one or two little secrets, I think.
Don't believe anything he says.
And also by Southwark Diocese.
He's well known as a fantasist in our diocese. Sorry, carry on, yeah.
I think the one or two words which came out of this was consensus.
Yeah.
Was listening to others, listening to the Holy Spirit, enthusiasm. And I think we'd also come to the same conclusion that possibly the wrong sort of people get onto deanery synod, that you want those that are prepared to work with enthusiasm and commitment.
Yeah.
And we can through that we can challenge the diocese. Whether that means challenge the bishops, I don't know.
Well, I was inviting that. Let me just make one or two comments on those things. This theme about have we got the right people? I mean, there are two ways of looking at that. Do we just always blame the tools? You know, I remember being in the vestry of St. Paul's with a previous bishop of the diocese in the southwest. He was whinging on and on about, and he said, "If only I could get rid of six clergy in my diocese, it'd be perfect." And a very experienced bishop said to him, "If you got rid of those six, there'd be six more blighters the next day." That is, there is a real sense in which we will always find people, i.e., you know, not on our wavelength, not quite. But the other way of looking at it, which I've tried to suggest, is that if we could be clear what we're trying to do, then people might say, "Well, I'm up for that. That would be really interesting to have a space, as I've been trying to talk about, where you can have some engaging, in-depth kind of encounter to grow me spiritually, me as a representative of my local church, me offer something to the wider diocese." So, and I think one of the problems, certainly I can only speak in this diocese, and I've worked in the diocese of Lincoln, for instance, and Bristol, is that a lot of my work with deaneries has struggled because of a lack of clarity about what we're trying to do. And I go as a diocesan officer trying to sell them some training scheme or something. But, you know, they were all a whole lot of one-offs, and it didn't fit into a way of being together and a way of trying to operate. And that links up with Brian's thing about, you know, what could it be a centre of, what kind of training. And I think the compliance thing is increasingly, you know, in the secular world, as there's a disconnect between big society and localism or corporatism and, you know, those on the street, the only relationship is compliance as it keeps coming down. And that's why another of my subtext was, I think the church should lead a fight back. We do need leadership, I would say that, wouldn't I? But we need leadership that is challenged and shaped and engaged with, you know, not me just with 333 communities in the Diocese of Derby and then a gathering of Dawson Synod, but we do need this intimate space where John can live out his fantasies and come and challenge us and all that kind of thing. So it's about clarity, I think, of the task and the dynamicness of a space that will have something to say to and help those who are trying to exercise a bigger oversight through episcopacy, Dawson Synod, Bishop's Council, whatever it is. We've got time for just one or two more comments. A gentleman here, have we got the runner? Here he comes. So there's a gentleman here in a white shirt, and then there's a lady at the back on that side there next.
I don't know if I should say this, John Green, Archdeacon of Great. Coventry. We're trying to do some interesting things with deaneries because I've got this vision of the church as a missional community. And where mission happens is at a local level. Mission actually happens where everybody who is a member of the church touches the outside world. And it seems if we want to empower our churches to be missional communities, we can't do it from the centre because it just doesn't work. And there have been no ends of initiatives where well-meaning people have had wonderful ideas, which if only you followed this scheme, your church would be full of people, it would be wonderful, and it just doesn't work because the experts are on the ground. But the problem is that there aren't the resources locally for that to happen, and there isn't the fellowship and there isn't the diversity of opinion that you need for it to be healthy. So it's certainly striking me that the deanery is literally a God-given thing, which is a Goldilocks zone, which is just right. As an archdeacon, the challenge is not to blow the porridge or put it in the microwave because it's not the temperature I want it to be.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think that those of us in leadership positions have to be prepared, if we want deaneries to be hubs of mission, which I think is what they are, to actually let them work and sometimes listen to opinions which we might not like to hear, but which might just be the voice of God speaking to us. I'll shut up.
No, very helpful, thank you. Very helpful. And a lady over there, thank you.
My name is Christina Shosonya from Hackney Deanery. My little experience of Deanery group, I found out that mostly the laity are much more interested in Deaneries than the clergies. I don't know why. The clergy's thoughts, synods are very boring, and I think there needs to be some sort of a change in the attitude of both the clergies and some lay people. But at the moment, the lay people seem to be much more interested in coming together to discuss what concerns the deaneries. And I'm saying this because I know there's a lot of clergies around in this hall today, that they will take it back to encourage themselves that it is good to mix with lay people in their deaneries to find out how they can move the mission forward. Thank you.
Thank you. And did you say there's one more person? Were you? Yeah, you, right. Thank you. Sorry, thank you.
Can't keep quiet too long. Tug Wilson, from Lichfield Deanery in Lichfield Diocese. I think it really depends on us, the people. We, and I have to be very careful how I say this because my rural dean's sitting just here. I think if you actually are engaging with it and the deanery is viewed by the diocese as being a key unit for the way that we deliver our mission and ministry, then you will have a lively deanery. If you see it just as something, well, it's part of the structure and we just need to go along, then that's all it's ever going to be. So I really do think it's in our hands. If we want to make something of the deanery and we want to actually be something which is going to be a unit for mission and ministry, then we need to take it by the scruff of the neck and do something with it.
Thank you. Just a quick response, and then I think we need to finish, but I'll come and talk to you in a minute if you want. As we approach 9:30, the very powerful point about initiative fatigue, I think, is illustrative of what I was trying to say about, and as you were saying, often the centre doesn't quite know what the connection should be. And that's why I'm appealing, as I think you endorsed, to this is a space that could be really helpful for mission and therefore the ministry that's needed to support it. And I just wonder, and I say this as a clergy person, and I've heard it's mentioned briefly by somebody else here tonight and in other places, I wonder if it's partly because as clergy, we are able to inhabit more clearly defined spaces in other roles. And perhaps there is a frustration if the deanery isn't such a clearly defined space to think, well, what's this about then? You know, we're not quite sure where it's going or how it works. Now, I think that's a thing, as Tug's saying, for people together to say, how can we use this God-given space? What do we bring uniquely? Because I'd say that the ingredients of a deanery, what you've got, the ingredients of a deanery are the local churches. So how are you going to ask them to be blessed together, which is what you were saying, really? In a way, the task is as simple as that. What kind of shape, what kind of discourse, what kind of robust engagement, like Acts 15, independent testimonies knocking against each other, what kind of ingredients can be brought from what God is doing in the vineyard to send us away enriched by the encounter and united in some kind of spiritual mission, even though we won't have solved all the differences or cracked all the answers? Friends, I'm going to end the formal thing because I was told half past nine. Many of you have travelled. Some of you will be thirsty. And I'm happy to talk with people when we finish. But thank you very much.
The members of the group were quite concerned that as Bishop Alistair has hinted, many have travelled a long way and therefore very tired. So what do we do about a Friday evening to really engage people and, just as important, to keep them awake? Bishop Alistair, you fulfilled both. In fact, you've more than fulfilled both. You've engaged us greatly. But one of the things, apart from everything that has been said, both by you and people on the floor, is that I already pick up a real enthusiasm for deanery. And that's the sort of thing that really does bring joy to my heart. So thank you for what you've said. Thank you for setting the scene for us. And thank you really for helping us have a bigger picture of what we can do within deaneries.
Thank you very much. Thank you.